I'm reading from Proverbs 1, 22-33, found in the Church Bible 527. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the market, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing, and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I'll pour out my spirit to you. I'll make my words known to you. Because I've called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. Because you've ignored all my counsel and will have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despise all of my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and have the fuel of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, hello, lovely to see you all. A particular welcome if you're new or visiting. If you don't know me, my name's Kenny. I'm the minister here. Do keep that passage in Proverbs open in front of you. If you've got a Bible or phone in front of you, it'd be helpful to be able to see it. Let me pray for us, though, as we dive into it. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for these, your words. We thank you that you are a God who speaks. Father, now give us ears to hear what you have to say. Amen. Thinking today actually about hearing, because I think there are two kinds of voices that we don't always hear. The first is literally the voice that we can't hear. I remember not long ago, I've got three, for those who don't know, three daughters, and we were off on a family bike ride. And one of them, I can't even remember whether it was Esther or Anna, but anyway, disappeared off into the distance at full pelt on her bike. And I knew as we were going down this track that basically it forked two ways and you had two options to choose from. So I shouted, stop, stop, wait for us. Of course, whichever one it was didn't hear, did they? And they just carried on and blasted down one of the forks. And we all got there and didn't know which way she had gone and which way to follow. So we went the way we were supposed to go, and she turned up later. But children eventually turn up. That's what I've learned in life. But, you know, she carried on because she simply couldn't hear me. She was just too far away. That's one kind of voice. But there is a second kind of voice we don't hear, and in some ways it's far more dangerous. It's the voice that we have trained ourselves not to hear. We're experts, if you like, I think, at tuning out voices that we don't want to hear. The very voices often that do want to help us, who could be good for us, who could help us in our life and on our journey, but we decide to ignore. And we just let them become kind of background voices to us. You know, you're driving down the motorway, and on the dashboard in front of you comes on one of those orange lights with a symbol you have no idea what it's supposed to be. But it's orange, not red, so you keep going to the next service station. And you get there, and the car seems to have been fine so far, so it's not too far home. So you carry on and get home with the orange light still on the dashboard. 6 months later, the orange light is still on the dashboard. And you don't even notice it anymore, you just turn the car on and get on. Seems fine until you go for a service and it's stupendously expensive and would have been rather cheap if you'd dealt with it 6 months ago. Or the friend who keeps trying to tell you something that would matter, something that you don't want to hear, but something true. And so you start to avoid them. You don't reply to messages. You kind of try and hover to the other side of church on a Sunday from them. We don't silence those voices because they're wrong, do we? We silence them because they're inconvenient, because we don't want to have to deal with them. If you were here last week, Ash showed us that wisdom begins with listening. Proverbs 1, keep saying this word, hear, hear. And as we come to this part of Proverbs 1, we hear wisdom herself speak for the first time. And she cries out. She calls us to listen, to hear her voice of warning, each and every one of us. God's wisdom, it isn't hard to find, it's hard to heed. And as we'll see, there is a clock on it. There is a time in which we have to listen and to respond. So first thing we see, wisdom isn't hiding. She is shouting in the street. Here in Proverbs 1, wisdom isn't quietly whispering in a library. She is not hard to hear, but she is shouting on the busiest streets in the town. Look down at verses 20 and 21 if you have it in front of you. Notice where wisdom cries out. Wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the markets where everybody is. She raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance to the city gates where everybody is coming and going all day long, she speaks. The loudest, the most public, the most ordinary places, the places where normal people go about their everyday life. Wisdom is there to be heard. No one will ever be able to say, well, no one told me. I couldn't find God's wisdom, however hard I looked. We don't have city gates, do we, in the same way where people come and go out of Sheffield. But we have similar places. We have the school gates, the group chats, the commute, you know, the, where else do we have? The feed on our phones. And they are every bit as loud. Every day they are telling us how to live. They are pouring out wisdom. Podcasts, influencers, advertisers, algorithms, friends, headlines. Everybody has some wisdom, and everybody is shouting it out. But amongst those crowded, very normal, everyday places, wisdom plants herself. And it is from there that she shouts. So the question is never whether you would hear a voice this week. It's much more which voice will you listen to? Which voice will you trust? And that, I think, in these little verses in Proverbs 1 is the tragedy of wisdom's cry. The tragedy isn't that wisdom is hard to find, so only a few can. The tragedy is the opposite. God's wisdom should be impossible to miss, and yet somehow we often manage to miss it anyway. God's wisdom is never the kind that we can't hear because we're too far away. He has made sure of that. It's only the kind that we won't hear. Wisdom's call in Proverbs is urgent. It is generous. And it is for everyone. The wisdom of Proverbs is for every kind of person. It's a generous wisdom and it comes with a promise. Look down at verse 22. There are three groups, aren't they? Aren't there? The simple ones, the scoffers and the fools. The simple, we've met those if you've been with us in Proverbs already. Those are the ones, if you like, that are standing at that fork in the road trying to decide which way to go. Undecided, still with a lot of life ahead, growing in wisdom. Then if you like, here we have a level up. We have the scoffers. It's like a level up in hardness, if you like. Those who it seems have made kind of a cynicism their hobby. They who think they know best and want everyone to know it. They're better than God. And then at the far end or the top, we have the fools. It's not just those who laugh wisdom off and think they know better, but it's those who actively hate God's wisdom. Those who are hardened against it, who hate true knowledge. It's a spectrum from those who are undecided, all the way through to those who have set their minds and their hearts against God's wisdom. And to every one of them on that spectrum, wisdom cries out the same thing. How long? How long will you ignore me? How long? That's the ache of it. Wisdom has been calling out for years. How long? And then verse 23. The hope of the whole passage. If you turn at my reproof. If you repent at my words. If you turn back from your ways to my ways. I will pour out my spirit on you. And I will make my words known to you. That's the shape of it, if you like. Turn, and wisdom, God's wisdom, will pour out herself on you. She will hold nothing back. She will give you her very mind, make her words known to you. All the way back to where this book started in verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That is what wisdom is calling us back to. Not to a kind of technique for a better life or a better way of living, but to the God who made us and to living in his world, his way. Wisdom has been calling across the generations with one call. Come back to God. How long is so often, isn't it, the cry of God through the Bible? He says, all day long I have held out my hands to a rebellious people. Wisdom here wants to give everybody the chance to hear and to return. To turn from the wisdom of the world and their own wisdom. From their own ways of doing things. Our own ways of making ourselves righteous. And instead turn back to God's ways. Wisdom has been crying out for thousands of years. How long will she be ignored? And that's because refusal in Proverbs has a deadline. There comes a point where that door is closed. The door that for generations has stood wide open to hear God's wisdom and return to him. Verse 24. Because I have called you and you refused to listen. I've stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. I also will laugh. They will call upon me, but I will not answer. It's a reversal. Wisdom has been pleading for generations, hear me, listen to me, come back to me. And she's been ignored. And you get a sense that sometime when the people finally cry out, when they finally realize they need God's wisdom, they need God. Wisdom, it seems, will not answer. Almost feels like mockery in verse 26, doesn't it? I will laugh at your calamity. It's the kind of language we sometimes find difficult. I don't think this is saying that God enjoys suffering. I think it's more the language of perfect justice. It's the moral universe that God made finally being seen for what it is. And Proverbs itself seems to understand it as a kind of natural justice or a natural consequence. This is simply what happens if we carry on ignoring God and his wisdom. Verses 29 to 31 put it this way. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. There's a sense that wisdom doesn't destroy those who turn away from her and don't listen. Their own turning away does that. Ignoring wisdom, it's not a neutral thing to do. In the end, it always brings destruction. And the God who called, who offered his hand, says there will come a time when he will no longer answer. Think of exam season. For those who've just been through the horrors of exam season, whether that's the university, school, you know, the exam you revise for and revise for and revise for, right up until the moment where you kind of step through the double doors, you sit at the desk and the paper is in front of you. At that point, no amount of wishing you had revised, no amount of wishing you could go back and change what you did can have any impact. As the exam door closes, the time provision is finished. There is no way back. Knowing that there is a time when God might not hear can feel frightening. And there is a risk in here that some of you will hear that and go, have I left it too late? Has the door already closed on me? Did I stop listening 10 years ago when I walked out of a church door and haven't been back since? Or if I look at my life, does it look like I've stopped listening to God's wisdom? Is there a way back at all? The deadline in Proverbs, it is real. One day it is death. But the very fact you can still hear wisdom's cry this morning shows us that the door is still open. Perhaps in a sense that worry, that ache to come back, that is wisdom still calling your name. Jesus himself in John 6, in one of the Gospels, the stories of Jesus' life, says that whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. No one who in their hearts is still troubled enough to ask, am I too late, can possibly be too late. Wisdom is still crying out. There is still time to hear her. You know, as we go through God's word, as we go through the Bible, we realize that the wisdom who cries out in the streets of Proverbs has a face. You realize as you read it, so much of what we see here, we see lived out in the life of Jesus. Paul, as we've seen before in 1 Corinthians, calls Jesus the wisdom of God. Says that he became to us wisdom from God. Jesus is God's wisdom in person, and Jesus does what wisdom does. You know, there is a moment in John's Gospel where it reads like this proverb kind of comes to life. It was Jerusalem, and it was a feast, a big feast day, the Feast of the Tabernacles they had. It's in John 7. And Jerusalem will have been absolutely packed out. You know, all that week, the priests have been carrying up water from a pool, pouring it on the altar, remembering how God gave people water in the desert when they needed it. Water poured out day after day in front of the whole city. And then on the last day of the feast, it's described as the great day, the biggest moment of that week. What happens? Jesus gets up. He stands at the temple courts, in the most public place, and he shouts out, he cries out over the crowd, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. This wasn't Jesus in a quiet room with a few disciples. This was the most public place, at its loudest moment, with everybody there. And Jesus does exactly what wisdom does. He stands in the crowded streets and cries out. What Proverbs here is kind of reaching for, Jesus fulfills. And then in Luke's Gospel, we see Jesus stood looking out over Jerusalem. And he speaks this bit of Proverbs 1. It's almost word for word. It's not quite, but he says, O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Behold, your house is forsaken. It's the cry of wisdom. How long, but with tears now on the face. And yet there is something wonderfully different in Jesus' crying out. Proverbs, it tells us what should happen when wisdom is ignored. Calamity, terror, distress, anguish. The fate of the fool, and it's deserved. But Jesus, the wisdom of God himself, the one who you think from that should be immune to all of it, who walked in the wisdom of God, he stepped into all of that himself. It's what he does at the cross. The wisdom of God steps down and bears the end, the punishment, the natural justice that should be ours. Wisdom himself, if you like, bears the fate of the fools. The one who always listened suffers for those who never did. God's justice poured out on him. And look at and think about how he takes it. With his own mouth, he had cried out, "You will be forsaken over the city." And then he hangs on the cross. And what does he cry out? My God, why have you forsaken me?" He was the one who was mocked in his calamity. And the mockers say, "He saved others, let him save himself." He cried out and was not answered. There was no voice from heaven in that moment, only darkness. He ate the fruit of a way that wasn't his own. Every consequence that Proverbs 1 lays at the foot of the fool, he took. He took, if you like, the storm of verse 27 so the promise of verse 33 could be ours. So we have, if you like, two destinies. Like a fork in the road, you can walk either way, left or right. And here is the one that wisdom holds out for us in verse 33. "Whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster." It is the opposite of the terror of the whirlwind, the opposite of being destroyed as the fool, the opposite of the distress and anguish of verse 27. It's not a promise of a life with no storms, but a life with no dread. Because you know that the disaster, the very end of Proverbs' warning, has already fallen on Jesus. So this is a call for us to listen, to open our ears, to listen and to come back. That is what it is to hear the warning and not just, you know, carry on driving with the light still on the dashboard. And that is hard for us all in noisy weeks and noisy days. It's perhaps especially hard for those who this summer marks a season of change. New schools, new universities, new jobs, new homes. Well, there'll be more and more newer and interesting voices to listen to. Don't let those voices stop you hearing God's wisdom. So what does listening actually look like this week? Verse 29 says, "The ones who were ruined did not choose the fear of the Lord." So to listen to wisdom is to choose the fear of the Lord. The thing this book has been saying since verse 7 was the beginning of the whole business. It's not a vague resolve to be a bit more attentive. But you know, an ordering and a sorting and a planning of your life this week around the God who made you and the God who is still speaking to you through his word. It perhaps looks like turning yourself back to the voice that you've trained yourself not to hear. What are the voices that you've stopped listening to that actually might be pointing you back to Christ? Perhaps it's the friend or the person in your discipleship group who keeps trying to tell you the thing that you don't want to hear. Perhaps it's the part of the Bible that you know that you skip over every time because you don't like that bit. The sin you keep giving a nicer name to. The warning that has become background noise. Wisdom is still crying out over it. Turn and listen. What's so good about this morning particularly is wisdom's invitation. It isn't just abstract. Wisdom's open hand is here at the Lord's table. You know, folly's guests, if you like, verse 31, eat the fruit of their own way. But wisdom's guests are fed by her. Come, she will say later on in chapter 9, eat of my bread. At this table, we're not celebrating how well we have listened, but we're celebrating the one who listened perfectly in our place. It's the good news of Christianity. So come listening. Come to the table repenting. Come trusting Christ. We're going to stand now and we are going to sing. We're going to sing a song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.